It's Parshas Kisavo, and we're up to the Sfarnu in Pasuk in Dvarim Chav Zayin Tes. It says in the Pasuk, by Dabu Moshe Akanim Levim Akoy Yisrael Lemor Haski Sushma Yisrael Hayom Azani Yis La'am Hashem Elokecha. So the key word here is Haskes, and the word Haskes has no real parallel to it anyplace else. It's like it's one of these words that you have to guess both in context or comparison. So the three different Pirushim we'll see, each one of them fascinating. The first one is the Sfarnu. The Sfarnu explains Haskes. He's also bothered why it says Vaidaber Moshe v'Kohanim Halevim al Kol Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu and the Kohanim spoke to Kol Yisrael. Where did the Kohanim come in over here? So the Sfarnu says Shitef v'Mar Kohanim. He had the Kohanim with him, lehazir al ha'ion b'torah, to warn people that they need to delve deep into the Torah. V'yos mutal kohanim l'lamei davs sa'am kama yomish tach Yaakov. Being that the Kohanim are in charge of teaching Klal Yisrael Torah, therefore they're the ones that were partners with Moshe in telling people. Now, I'd like to talk about a few points here. First of all, it's interesting. It's an interesting assignment of roles to Kohanim. Formally, Kohanim are only involved with the Avodah, but it does say Uvasal HaKohen. It does say that Kohanim were usually involved in teaching Klal Yisrael. Uvasal HaKohen or Shoshi Remahim. Kohanim are somebody that are especially fit for that role. It's also Mashma that the reason why the Kohanim Levim were there in Yerushalayim the whole time was to teach Klal Yisrael, so we have that as well. And he says over here there's another point here. Alayun b'Torah. You know, Haskes Shema Yisrael means Afim Me'ayin. I want to explain this point because since the word Iyun is kind of a very, very used word, it has a specific connotation. Learning Iyun means learning with all the Achronim or whatever it is. The word Iyun means Torah, the way it's presented on the surface, doesn't stand well. There are kashas and there are terutzim. Shnei Ksuvim HaKishna Yaseh, Asher HaKazir Asher HaNehem, Kal V'Chomer, Gzer Shava, Mishnayis, that associate each other. Iyun means to carefully to aduch each piece and get the real meaning of it, because reading it is not going to give you. Torah is not meant, it's not meant to be written with the simplicity of instruction manual that if you read it you get it. The Torah is complex and you need to think about it, ask yourself the questions, read for the fine points hidden, the nuances hidden in the language, work out steers and come up with terutzim that are true. That's all the process of Iyun. So Haskes would mean think into it deeply. That's one. The second Sfarnu, then the Sfarnu says Haskes. He says another meaning. Saya b'machshavtecha k'moy eskois malkechem. He says it means to create a picture in your mind. Now the word and then he finishes the pasuk the Sfarnu. He says u'shma v'isbonein v'shamata v'kom asher melekecha k'shetetzaya zeh v'tovin. When you make a picture of it, tishma b'kol b'lisafik, you certainly will listen to Hashem. The Sfarnu is saying over here something which is really yesod, probably Musar and many other aspects of Torah. When a person, if you take the Musar Shmuzin of the old days, the Musar Shmuzin of maybe the Altus Mabotka and many of his Talmidim and many of his colleagues, a lot of times you struggle to find any type of chiddush in what they're saying. And like Masil Sharm says, it's not there for the sake of chiddush. Masil Sharm says that his sefer is written just to keep pushing on those points we push out of our minds. But there's a deeper point here. There's a, what we're lacking is tzir. So, for instance, you read the story about you learn the story of, from Ereshit. You read, because that's what you do. You read the story of Jason, the brother. Fine, very nice, good, wonderful. Everybody knows it. They can repeat it. And if there's a Sheva Brachas, we'll figure out some part to say. It's not a problem. But if you sit down and picture what is it like for a 17-year-old, for his brothers to turn against him, for his brother to try to kill him, for your brothers to sell you off into into the worst life imaginable, a living Gehenim, to be a slave for all your life. You'll never get married, you'll never have children, you'll never have anything that's yours from the till the day that you die. You're working hard for a master, and that's it. And they left him like that, never bothered to come back after him. And then when they come back and they need him, and when he reveals himself, his first words are, you shouldn't be worried, because who sent me, it was really Hashkachos that I could be able to save you. If you were to picture it in your mind, like a movie, to flesh it out, we would be astounded by it. All of those things, the psukim and the stories and the words are really things that are very, very powerful. What we manage to do is by putting them into words, we sort of code them, and they don't have that effect. It's just like Lahavdol, if you have a movie in digital format. If you were to look at the computer at the digital formulation, it doesn't mean anything. No, it's not scary, it's not nice, not funny. It's a lot of ones and zeros. That's all you have over here. But when you see it in living color, when you see it fleshed out, it really, really is very powerful. That's true with Torah and Musar of Torah. They are. It is very, very powerful. If you mitzayir it, the first Baal of Musa tried to be mitzayir the parshas in the Torah, tried to draw a picture of it, and in the picture of it, you got the full impact of it. Sometimes you hear a big tzaddik says a bracha and you're very shaken by it, you know what the bracha meant way before the tzaddik said it. You know what the bracha is. But there's a sense in his words as if he's living it. So there's a chiyuv of haskes to take the parshas in the Torah and to make them into pictures, into living color, to draw a picture of all the things that says. And that really, really makes things, it gives things the impact they need to give a person. We think about, yeah, Kaisel's 40 years in the Midbar, Akash Baruch Hu made Nisim, and so on and so forth. But sort of picture it. Picture yourself that you went through a period of nisim and iflos, and then there's this endless drudge of being in no man's land. And every morning you wake up, and there's nothing in the house, nothing. And some miracle is going to happen in the morning. And, you know, the sense of frustration, the sense of nace, the whole thing of it, if a person pictures it, he's able to live it and get the full meaning out of it. We don't get the full meaning out of it because we reduce it to words and kind of shortcuts. Okay, one more meaning of haskes. This is an extraordinary pshat of the Rambam. The Rambam says in Mor Nevuchim, "V'chein michlal kavanas haTorah harakus," or some other gersos, "atarbus." The Rambam explains, this is where he's explaining more time and mitzvahs and so on, he explains general types of attitudes that the Torah tries to implant in us. And one of them is, rakus means softness, but the exact flavor of that softness is goodwill. Being amenable to requests. In other words, my first reaction to another person should be to give way. Oh, you would like this? Fine. I think we can make it work. Or maybe a little change and make it work. A person should be amenable to another person. A a person should be amenable to what another person requests. Vishaloya koshi built in Israel. And he shouldn't be tough, like, no, it's what's in it for me. I don't, you know, like, I mean, why should I change? Let's take an example. Somebody comes to me and says, I know that you're planning to use this facility on Tuesday. Could you do it on Wednesday? There are two reactions. Why not? If it's good for you, I don't think it makes a difference, or it's a minor difference, or whatever it is. Another reaction is, why? Don't push me. I'm using it on Tuesday. That's when I use it. If you got a problem, tough luck. Maybe if you would sort of give a little money, we'd think about it. Maybe we could trade a favor. But I don't know why I should, just because you want to use it on Tuesday, I should move it to Wednesday. It's a very basic attitude, and a person can say, well, there's no favor, there's no mitzvah in it. I mean, show me the pasuk where it says, thou shalt do it on Wednesday if your friend requests it. He doesn't need tzedakah, he's not a tzedakah case, so what's the problem? Where's the issue? The answer is, haskes means a person should express some sort of amenability to someone else. A person should be giving to his friends ritzonos. And v'nishma lehem lecheftzom v'shevel ritzonom. We should listen to what it is that they want and do what it is that they would like. The truth be said is that it is a very, very deep midah. For the person who needs to prove his self, the person who's got insecurities, the person who's worried about himself, any time you give in, you are making yourself less. If I've got to bend myself out of shape for Reuven or for Shimon or for Levi, then I've got a problem. So I resist it. In other words, the inflexibility is there for a reason. It's there to preserve myself, to push myself, to whatever it is. So the Torah says a person's attitude should be of giving nature. It brings a few psukim. Koridatim tzoshisbar. Umaltim tzoshisbarachim. Barachim latikshu od. Haskis ishma Yisrael. Im tovu shmatim. So all these psukim we're used to learning about mitzvahs ben adam lamakom. The pasuk Haskis ishma Yisrael. Umaltim tzoshisbarachim. Barachim latikshu od. The pasuk pshat we learn is I haven't heard anyone speak about it in terms of Bein Adam L'Chaveiro. The Rambam says this applies to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro, that a person be giving. V'nema mishnishon l'kabla shatzorach l'kabla b'shamana v'asino. V'nema boi al tzara moshul mashkeni achev nutza. So the Rambam is taking all these psukim that deal with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he applies it to Bein Adam L'Chaveiro as well. In a very deep, deep way, the truth is they're very similar. One of the reasons why there are people that, let's say they come to a school, and it says you have to have the shirt buttoned till the top. They'll unbutton the first button. If it says the shirt has to be buttoned till the top button, you can unbutton that button, they'll unbutton two buttons. And you ask yourself, really, what's going on over here? And the answer is, there is a dynamic here of asserting yourself versus authority. You have a sense that the assertion of authority is making you less of a person. It's sort of taking away from yourself. So by dafka unbuttoning the this button, that button, the other button, that's what you're doing. For those of you who read 1984, I'm sure you remember the freedom of freedom is the freedom to say that 2 and 2 equals 4, and the guy tries to get them to say 2 and 2 equals 5, thing. People want to assert self, and that's where rebellion comes from. It's true, some people got the problem with authority, some people have the problem with peers, and they express it in a sort of stiff-neckedness of not wanting to comply. Okay, actually the word, I mean, if you, even in English, the word comply is the word pliable. In other words, pliable means flexible. To comply is to give way to authority. Okay, the next pasuk is Rabbeinu Bechaya. it's a it says in the pasuk, Ora shelo yokum es divrei Torah zos lasos osam, that there's an aura for if you don't do the divrei Torah. So the Rabbi Chaya says it's not just adding a curse. There's actually a sort of another dimension to Shmiras Torah mitzvahs. Ora shelo divrei Torah zos. Zekla lechol mitzvah shebe Torah. Ubir hakasov ashla yokum mitzvah belivay. Kloima. Sheyoide behen v'yamin bekulon shen emes achas meinu l'nedora she'ein bo to'elos hagufa nefesh v'she'ein bekulon mitzach v'atola. So Rabbi Chaya here says an extraordinary pshat. What does it mean? Ora shalo yokum zera tarzos. He said he learns it can't be pshat. He does not mekayim tarim mitzvahs in the sense that he's not doing them, because that's the everything else. They're not adding anything. He says this ora is a special din. Ashalo yokum. Yokum means to confirm, to validate. What does it mean to validate the mitzvahs? HaKadosh Baruch Hu says we have to do them, so we have to do them. Where is our validation of it possible? So Rabbi Abichaya says the validation is something which is it's confirmed that the mitzvahs are valuable, are of value, that they have in themselves they give a person good in every level. They're good for the neshama, and they certainly are not harmful for us to do them. They're good for our nefesh and guf. Zera shel yokum la'asoysom sheikayim belibo emuna chazak eshor la'asoysom. And then he brings the chazal she'enim agbiya sefer Torah laharis kivotzu la'am. It also, it says if he doesn't pick up the Sefer Torah to show it to people, that's Lashon Chazal, that's Ora Shel Yokum Torah Zos. L'chur, it's a play on words. Yokim, to pick up, to stand up, so if he doesn't do Hagba well, it's Chayis Ora. Rabbi Mechai is putting it in line what he's saying. When we pick up the mitzvahs and show it to people, we are quote-unquote showing off the mitzvahs. We're kind of saying, Rabbi Sai, this is the way to live. This is right, this is good, this is what it's about. So a person who doesn't, who's sort of the Torah is something that Kadosh Baruch says we got to do. So there's no pride in it. There's no showing it. There's no displaying it. That's. I want to add a ha'ara on this, sort of a contemporary ha'ara. In the battle between modernity and tradition and Torah. So different people cope with it in different ways. One group of people who are intertwined with the world around and have that struggle most sharply so, have developed a formula. It's called, well, but the halachic process mandates. Yes, it's true, your comments are true, but you know, every system has its own way of doing things, and this is the halachic process mandates it. Let me translate that in terms of the flavor of that expression. Let's put it in mamaloshan, as they say. It means like this: yes, the Torah missed the boat on this one, is irrelevant, it makes no sense, and should have been done better, but there's an integrity of a system. Every system has its flaws, and if you break one point, you will come to break the other points. And it's better to you need to preserve an integrity of a system. This is a perfectly valid argument when it applies to American law, to any law, and a judge. And you say to yourself, listen, the judge is stupid. The Megillah doesn't say what I said is wrong. But if I disobey this one, then the whole system comes collapsing down, and nothing is perfect. You'll never have perfection. All laws have areas that they kind of are messing it up, but that's the nature of it, and you want to preserve a system. It's a fine argument when you're dealing with American law. It's a terrible argument when you're dealing with Torah. And you sort of hide behind the, it's a technicality, but technicalities are important. The Rabbeinu Chaya says we need to understand that mitzvahs all have positive effect on a person. And that's part of the basic emunah of mitzvahs. And on that it says, "Orasha lo yakim sevatar azos lasos." So it's not enough to do it. You have to confirm and validate that you believe that they are, that each and every one is positive. Okay, the Svarnu. The Svarnu speaks about Oru Ha'isha, Shasta Pesna Secho, all of these Arurim, and what the point of the Arurim are, and so on. So the Svarnu says, Oru Ha'ish, Hine, Kol Ha'arurim, he says, all of these Arurim are Amru Tchil Lashem Baruch. First it said Baruch, Mashabo Bekabbalah. So why is it said just as Aru Ha'ish? Why doesn't it say the other side? The Ikka Kavana of the Rurim was to Mekal. Why? Kidei Sheim Levadam Yisa Avoinam. V'lo Yashar Ha'am Arev Lahem. So the Sfarna gives us a new understanding of Aru. Aura means barren. Aura means something which stands by itself. It's we've isolated this person and we say we've drawn a circle around the person doing davera and saying he's the one that will bear his suffering and no one else. Kedeshen vanyu savan v'lo shara marev lehem v'zeh k'achotim ha'eloi ala rov v'ashe ha'am. The reason why it was important was because many of the people who opened up the Zara were leaders. And people could not protest. It was impossible. This person was very powerful, very strong. Said, but in Yecheskel, he mentions almost all of the points of the Arurim, and he says that the leaders of Chazal, the king of Chazal, were guilty of it. V'amah shenasa el avernes v'yishalayim. That all these avernes are in Yishalayim. Lo yishayir kula chote b'zeh. Not that that Yishalayim was chote, avl ha-nesiyim heim chote v'kuma ela. It was something which the nesiyim did. Omnom baskir shom avernes ha-tzibur heshem se'ir v'omroi kutshay b'zisa v'shatsay chilalta. So Sfana says, when it came to those in Yanim that everybody was guilty, then that the populace in general were guilty, that's when you spoke about your Yerushalayim being sinful and so on and so forth. But you spoke about everybody. When you spoke about the leaders, the Navi makes a point of it of that it's be Yerushalayim, but not quite Yerushalayim. So let's touch on a point or two in the Svarna. The idea of Arvus is, on the one hand, we're responsible for others. It also means that we are, it means that if one person were to sin, everyone would be responsible. We find like that by Achan, for instance. When Achan sinned, everybody was responsible for it. The Klal Yisrael suffered, and so on. That's true in general. The Sfarno points out over here, but there were times when Klal Yisrael's leadership was guilty of it, and there was no way that we would bear their sins. It's not right because we didn't have the ability to suffer it. So he says that the horror is meant to isolate that person and to sort of, he carries his own sin and so on. I want to explain it in terms of what Ara Baruch is. The word Baruch means something which multiplies, something which flourishes. That's Bracha. The Maral points out Bracha is Beis, Reish, Chaf. All three of those letters are second. In other words, it means it gives off secondary stuff. Me'esharim means there's a bracha there that everything multiplied manifold times. That's the nature of bracha, that things they produce a lot more effects, and a thing grows branches, and the branches grow branches, and so on. That's the Mahalach of Bracha and the Bria. The Tov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, put into the Bria that the nature of Tov is that it's Mizbarich. Let's give an example. If a person does chesed and is good to people, that goodness will spread, and the nature of the goodness is that it branches out. When a person is bad, mean to himself, the nature of that is some people might emulate it, but the bad itself is not productive. It can be harmful. It can destroy others. Chas v'shalom. If a person speaks Shahari, destroy another person. If you're mean to somebody, you're not good to him. It stares him. People might also look at your example, but it's not. It doesn't become a movement. It's like one of the things that you always wondered about. There was a writer in my days, Ayn Rand, who preached selfishness as an ideal, and they had a society of people that believed in it, and you wondered, how can you have a society of selfish people? By definition, each one is to himself. So, the Chevermannschaft is like saying business is society. There's no societies. If it's good for us to do a deal, we do a deal. If it's not a good deal, then we don't do a deal. I mean, it's all about business. It's kind of, if we both tend to make a profit by pooling our resources, then we'll pool it. And if not, I mean, you know, where's it coming from? Rhine itself is error. It's not fruitful. It doesn't, it's not productive. There's a pasuk, Taivi Vakish Nifrod, that in the world of Taiva, every person is his own. If I'm eating something that I like, I'm following my Taiva, and I have no need to share that. It's the same thing as true. The place where you have the deepest example of that is in relations between a man and woman. When a person does it as a Taiva, then there's no connection of two people. It's not a chibur of two people. It's a pirut. If the only motive is taiva, physical taiva, so one party is doing it because it pleases them, the other party is doing it because it pleases them. Where is there any merging? Where is there any bracha that comes out of it? When a person does it for the good reasons, for v'hoyel v'asa echad, that the merging with another person is something which is the good, then the kavana is the kesher and the chibur. That is the kavana. We tend to think of it as two separate inyanim. The etzem chibur and kesher is one thing, and the taivah shabbat is the second thing. And yes, some people do it for taivahs and not taivahs and so on and so forth. No. It's something which is the mida, and it defines the taiva, and it defines the mida. If my only motive is taiva, there's no chibur, there's no kesher. A very good raya is bizman hazeh. It used to be that to realize your taiva, you had to have a family, so you were stuck, and you did what you had to do in order to have a family. And so people have families, and then once you have families and so on, other hergeshim kicked in and things were good. But bizman hazeh, when we have the means to attain the taiva without a family, and certainly without children, then there is no. The people not interested in it. People not interested in family, not interested in children, not interested in marriage. Because I'm only interested in taiva, and if I needed, if family came along as a bonus, whether I liked it or not, so be it. But once that, it's just not happening. So you see that we tend to think of goodness, kindness, and midas tovas as being very separate than bein adam l'makom. Bein adam l'makom is frum stuff, taiva stuff, and so forth. It's nice, it has value, but it's certainly nothing involved with this. The answer is no. We have a type of inyan where you see clearly that because of the way taiva has gone, it is it revealed that if you can, if that taiva robs zivug and chibur from any kesher nafshi and any bracha, it taka remains an aura. Okay, so finish the bracha.